Today's message is going to be a message of self-reflection. And before we dig into that message, I want to do something unique. First, I need two volunteers. Can I get two volunteers? Mike Sherbanenko, come here. And you, sister in the back who raised your hand, come on up here if you would. Come on up here on the stage with me, guys. We're going to do something. I'm going to use this mic, Ron, here. Is that okay? You good? Tell everybody your name here.
Sarah,
one of our Journey youth. Absolutely. And everybody?
Mike Sherbanenko.
I know his name. It's just awesome. Hey, come here. Sarah, I want you, if you would, to sit down here, and we're going to do something. Mike, if you would, head back down to the stage, down to the floor there. They got a Sharpie, a clipboard, and a white piece of paper. Sarah, are you an artist at all?
Uh-oh.
Okay, well, this is going to work out perfect then. All right, this is what I want us to do. Mike, I want you, if you would, Mike, to grab this mic. And we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock. Come up here, my little sister in the Lord. Now, you're going to stand right here, face that clock toward everybody here. All right, now, we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock. Now, what we're going to do, you cannot turn around, okay? But go ahead, Mike, if you would, put that image on the screen. And in 2 minutes, we've got to describe this image to her for her to draw what is on that screen right there. She can't look at it, but we got to describe it to her so that she can draw it. Are you ready? Right. I think you and I have the gift of description.
Okay.
So I think we can do this. Are you ready? Let's put 2 minutes on the clock and go.
Okay, we're going to start with a big heart.
Just draw a big heart right there in the center of the paper.
And then on the side holding the heart, you're going to draw a teddy bear.
To the right side of the heart. And he's doing this. He's going like this. Like this. So if you
with
need to just
right
stare
arm.
At me. Huh?
With his right arm.
Yeah, his right arm is just like tucked on the side of that heart right there. You can just... Left arm.
Left arm.
Mike.
Sorry. Okay. All right. I got you.
Yeah. I don't know what the thing is doing, but...
And it's looking at you and it's smiling. It has a...
It's got a kind of a sort of smile. It's like it's got gas, but...
Yeah.
And it's like it's being told what to do, and it wants to leave anyway.
Okay, in the middle of the heart.
Yeah. Gonna, the first one, it's like a seven, right?
It's like wouldn't a backwards seventh, a little kind of lip.
It's not a backwards seven. What kind of sevens do you draw?
I don't know.
It's like it's a regular seven.
Yeah.
Right? Just draw a regular seven in the middle of the heart.
Okay. And then you can draw.
It's like a zero, but it's like a Justin Timberlake thing on the top of the zero. You know, it's like a zero, and it does that.
Yeah, kind of thing like this.
Right next to the seven, right? We got
and
40.
And then right next to it, you're going to write
an N. With a Justin Timberlake at the top of it, too. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
a pie.
A pie sign.
It's a pie sign and N together.
And then underneath the O, you're going to draw three dots.
Yeah.
One, two, and then three. One, two, three. And the same thing underneath. Sign.
Yes. And the same thing underneath the N with the Justin Timberlake haircut on top of it. Shade in the bear.
Yeah.
Some, we got eight, seven,
all over the place.
Six, five. Anything else, Mike?
No, I think that's good.
Three, two, one. All right. Here we go. Stand up, Sarah, if you would. Show everybody what we have described to you. Huh? This guy hanging up. Sarah, I don't think this is on you. I think this is on us.
Yeah, I don't know.
Give Sarah a good hand. Amen. Thank you so much. We'll hold this right down here, if you will. I'm going to get back to the point as to what we just did here in a few moments. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verses 1 through 3, I'm going to be reading out of the English Standard Version here this morning. It says this, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word, the powerful truth, God, that sits behind your word. And Lord, I pray that that truth come to life in our lives here this morning. God, guide me, I pray, every word I speak, as I would be an echo of what you're saying here today, God, to us, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a key word here that is repeated three times in these three verses. And that word is love. Did you know that the word love is mentioned in the Bible 551 times? 551 times. Just a few examples of those. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 14. Let all that you do be done in love. 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 13:34-35, a new commandment, Jesus said, I give to you that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are to also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Colossians 3:14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Listen to that description right there. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. As previously mentioned, I mean, I could quote another 500 plus scriptures that would prove this incredible word to be very important. I mean, this is more than just a suggestive point here. How many know what I'm talking about? Wherein the Bible is calling for this to be part of our lives. With Scripture commanding us to live in love at that level right there. 551 times, love, friends, is to be our lifestyle. We're talking in everything we do, it should be dripping with love. I've always said here that love is the paintbrush. I mean, think about the nature of what love does for a minute. It is the vessel. It is the tool. It is the instrument that paints, that produces, that creates the image of who God is to those around us. Now think about that for a minute. Huh. That's our role. Remember last week, 1 Peter chapter 4, he has called us to be a holy priesthood, right? Priest meaning representative of God. Hood meaning community, neighbor. We are to be a community of representatives to God. We have the responsibility given to us to represent God to the world around us. And the question has to be asked, then how does one represent anything? You know how one represents anything? Through two things, our words and our actions. Our words, what we say, and how we say them. How many know it's just as important to talk about the how we say them as the what we say them, right? And our actions, what we do and how we do them. Because how many know the world is watching our lives? They're watching you. Like they watch you. They watch me, friend. And those things together, our words and our actions, paint a picture of who God is to the world around us. My question is this. Does the world, when they look at your life, see God accurately? As he should be seen when they look at your life. What does hearing a question like that do for you? I'll tell you what it does for me. It makes me comb through me. It makes me self-reflect. It makes me self-examine. And I'm telling you, self-examination is a good thing. It's a biblical command that needs to be a regular part of our life. And this is an important question. I think that should be a part of the everyday life of the believer. 2 Corinthians 13:5, we don't have it on the screen, but you know, Paul says, examine yourself. test yourself. Are you giving the world an accurate description of the picture of God's amazing love? Are you giving the world an accurate picture of the amazing grace of God? Are you giving the world an accurate picture of the amazing mercy that you have been shown, that you have had and have an experience with every day? Put that weird picture up, Micah, that we first started this talk out with, that Sarah had the task of drawing while Mike and I described it to her. This picture right here, this weird bear, and this heart and this stuff in the middle, which is actually the Hebrew word for love. Allow me to symbolically connect all of this together here. Because we, Mike and I, at the beginning of this exercise, along with you, were shown something. We were shown something. We had an experience with it. We saw it. But then you have Sarah, who was not shown it. She could not see it. All she had was a blank piece of paper, a Sharpie, and a clipboard. And our job, Mike and I, was to get her, Sarah, to see it. It was our job to get her to see it through our description of it. It was our job, Mike and I, with our words and our actions, to get her to see what it is that we had seen. Are you getting the picture here? Are you getting the parallel here? Because this is exactly what we do here in the church. You have a world that's outside these walls that have not seen what it is that we've seen. And it's our job as the church, with our words and with our actions, to describe it. Here it is, my friends. Is your life giving the world around you an accurate description of who God is? Or are you giving them an inaccurate picture, an inaccurate description as to who God is? Somebody say, well, if you only had more time. Listen, friends, sometimes that's all you got with somebody. It's but a season, but a couple minutes. I mean, sometimes that's all you got with a stranger is just a couple minutes. And it is our job to give them a description of the love, the authentic, the incomparable love, grace, and mercy of God. Sometimes that's all you have with somebody. Sometimes that's all you have but a short season with a coworker, or even with your kids in the retrospective life. How many know your kids aren't always going to be with you, parents? At least that's the hope. Amen. But how many know they're not always going to be with you? And it's during that time that you want your kids to get the accurate description, the accurate picture, the accurate painting of what the love of God looks like. Listen, the world around us, friends, has not a clue what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus. Please hear me, friends, when I say their perceptions as to what it is like, on what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus, are empty. The proverbial canvas is blank. And through what they see in us is what they use to draw on that campus, on canvas, is how they draw who God is. So if 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, which is a scripture we read, tells me that God is love, and no, the contextual meaning, the context surrounding God here in this verse is definitive, meaning that a definition to God is love, a definition to him. Then if and when people look at my life and they put a definition to me, they should say, Jesse is love. Man, I'm telling you, when you look at that guy is love, man. If you, I mean, just put his name next to the word in the dictionary, because when you look at him, when you hear from him, when you experience him, he is love. Jesse is love. Not Jesse is hate. Not Jesse is anger. Not Jesse is bitter. Not Jesse is unforgiving. Not, need I go on? Because if people see hate, listen, church, if people see hate coming from my life, how many know it's easy to hate? If people see hate coming from my life, that hate is doing much more than just coming from my life or coming off of my words. I mean, how many know it just isn't in the form of words? It can be in the form of a cold shoulder. It can be in the form of ignoring somebody. It can be in the form of intentional distance between someone. It's doing much more than just coming off from my words or my cold shoulders. It, that hate, is being drawn on the canvas of one's perception as they look at me, and it becomes attached to their perception of God's identity. Come on now. How many still love the pasty, bald, white preacher? Just look at your neighbor and say, he's pasty and bald, but he's still a sweet man. Amen. Right? Because, friends, listen, we have people in the church, living stones, who God has called to be a royal, a holy priesthood, representatives of him, that are representing a completely different God to the world around them than the God who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. People that give impressions of a hateful God, a harmful God, a bitter God. I mean, have you ever been in a place or around somebody religious that just smells of who God is? An angry God, a distant God. Talking more than just Westboro Baptist Church with signs on the corner spewing hate. I'm talking more than just them. Let's go microscopic here, because we find it in the church. Remember when I was a youth pastor in Arizona, we had a guy named Bobby. Huge afro, big dude. Didn't have church parents, and it was just a miracle that he was even in our church. 16-year-old big old dude. And just was one of those guys that just attracted just a crowd. And it was so awesome that he even attended our church and youth group. And I remember there was this guy, old guy in the church named Bob. And Bob just lived with a frown. I mean, it looked like that guy was baptized upside down in lemon juice. Like, this guy was just like, you know? Nothing ever kind to say to anybody. In the house of God, the guy attended the church for 20 years before I even got there. And I remember he walked up to Bobby with his afro, and he says, I don't know what you're thinking, but that haircut needs to go if you want to stay in the house of God. And I remember him saying that to him. And I just looked at Bob, because I was a youth pastor, so I'm just protective over the student. And I just wanted to punch Bob right in his face. Like, not like straight, but like where Bob's facing this way, where I can give him a good hook. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. I'm being hateful here right now. Amen. But it was just one of those things where it's like, how can you? And I just stepped in front. I go, I love his hair. I was losing at the time, so I was like, I'll take anything, amen. But I just was like, I love his hair, you know? I love that big old fro behind me. And I looked at him like, say something about his hair, and we're going to fight right now, Bob. You know, it was just one of those things. And I was sitting there, and I'm thinking like, wow, what impression do we give other people through our words and through our actions of who God is? Because that right there gave that young man an impression of a distant, uncaring, impersonal, hateful, you'll never be good enough God. Can I tell you this? We have judgment waiting on us, church, on our representation of Him to the world around us. I mean, I bet you didn't think the love series was going to go Law and Order. You know what I'm saying? Just gung gung, you know. Yeah. No, but seriously, right? There's judgment waiting for us. Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of themselves to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must, let's all say the next word together. All, right? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what they have done in the body, whether good or evil. Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 to 37, I tell you, Jesus said, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. Oh. How many just want to muzzle your mouth right now? I do. Like, wow. Lean on love, Journey Church. Live with love. Back to the scripture we opened this talk with. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at this. If I speak in the tongues of men, which means languages of men, I don't think that's really much of a big deal, but check this out. And of angels. Now, whoa. Let's hit the brakes on that for a second. If I speak in the tongues, the languages of angels, where's an angel at? Right? Where's an angel from? So, an angel is speaking the language of heaven, right? God. It's speaking the language of heaven. I mean, Paul's saying here, I could speak in the language of heaven. And whenever you're speaking, if it's in the language of heaven, I'm certain that it's the message of heaven. If I have in my hands and in my words, anybody got a message from heaven this morning? Like, and in the language of it, whatever that sounds like or looks like, anybody? Like, I've never had the opportunity to speak out in the language of heaven. This is the message of heaven. And it's like, I don't know, some Dothraki, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know what it sounds like. It was weird. I know, but it was just whatever, you know, if you're just speaking in that language. Paul's, and how rare that is. Paul's saying, if I speak in the language of heaven, what a rare gift, what a rare opportunity to have. And he says this, if I speak in it and I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Meaning it doesn't matter who you are or what your gifts are or how important you think you are or what you think you have to say. If you don't have love, heaven says you are nothing but a noisy gong or clanging cymbal in the ears of the world. You may have ever seen Charlie the Chimp. Anybody have a Charlie the Chimp back in the day? Got that video of Charlie the Chimp? This is what you are to the world with the message of heaven without love being given. Right here. What an annoying looking beast. Amen. Turn the video off. I've watched the thing enough. Amen. It's saying I could speak in the language of heaven, but if I don't have love, that's what I sound like to the world. I have taken the message of heaven and I have made it sound like that. Verse 2, Paul says, and if I have prophetic powers, anybody got prophetic powers in the room? Or what about this next one? And understand all mysteries. Anybody understand all mysteries? Raise your hand. I was hoping somebody would raise their hand because I just want to hang out with you this afternoon. Like, if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, what a level to be at. And if I have all faith so as to remove what? Mountains. Have you ever, anybody in this room ever, and I mean audience participation here, looked at a mountain, because Jesus said it, you have faith the size of mustard, you can say this mountain, move and go throw yourself in the sea or move from here to there and it'll be done. Anybody ever done that before and it happened? Has anybody ever tried it? I have. When I lived in Arizona, I was just like, nobody was around. And I looked at Thumb Butte Mountain and I looked at it and I just go, move. And it didn't move, man. I tried. And I was believing, man. I was like trying. I was mustering up as much as I could. And I couldn't get the thing to move. Like, no, this is saying, even if you have the faith to remove the mountain, think about the power there. Think about how special it would be to have that level of access to mysteries and knowledge and faith. And Paul says, I could have all of that combined. Didn't just one has, I can have all of that combined, but have not love. He says, I am nothing. Wow. If I give away all I have, am I ever given away? Like giving it away. All that you have. And sometimes I think I'm special for what I give. Look at what I do. Look at what I get. Look at what I sacrifice. Paul's saying, I could give away all that I have and then even deliver up my body to be burned. Like, here, take me. Instead of somebody else's body being burned. Take me. But have not love, I gain nothing. I could give it all away. I could give my life away, but if it doesn't have love out on display, I get nothing. Wow. Without love, all you are and all I am is Charlie the Chimp to the world around us. Journey Church, we are to be a people of love. Somebody say a good amen. This place here needs to be a house of love. And I don't mean that in a creepy way. You know what I'm saying? We're just like, got that music. You know what I'm saying? Not this type of love. I don't mean like that when I say this needs to be a house of love where people are coming in and this is what our door greeters are doing. Hey. Welcome to Journey. Right this way. You know? No, turn it off. Amen. It's just not that type of love. Amen. But a place where people can have an encounter with the love of God. A place where people can see who God really is. I want to ask our music team if they would to come. A place where the picture of God's love, the picture of God's grace, the picture of God's mercy is as accurate as it could be. Because let me tell you something, friends. We have one life. And in some contexts, we have one opportunity to show people who God is. What he looks like, what his grace looks like, what his mercy looks like. And again, we don't have a lot of time. So let this church be a place where you can see the love of God coming off of your life, where you can see the mercy of God coming off of your life, your words, and your actions. This, where you see the grace of God coming off of your life and your words and your actions. Let your life at work be a place where the love of God is shown. If your boss could draw a picture of what God looked like by looking at your life, what would they draw? Parents, if your kids could draw a picture for me as to what God looked like, let me tell you something. The only thing that they're going to describe it is what they've seen from your life. What would it look like? Husbands, if we just got real here and asked your wife, what would they say? Wives, what would your husband say? You see, we gain that description off of the lives of the holy priesthood. How do you live in love? Because we're going to spend the next, well, next week and the week after, and then we're going to close on Valentine's Day, this love series. But we're going to spend the next couple of weeks just digging into how to love and the strategies of how to live in love and what to do and ways to show love to the world, to each other. But how do you live in love? Like, let's get to the root of it all. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It was the last scripture we mentioned of the 551 scriptures that deal with love. This is it. This is how you do it. This is it. Right here. You want to know the key? You want to know the key to living in love? You want to know how to do it? Right here. We love because he first loved us. Meaning, the only way to let love out is to let love in. God's love is the only way that I love. I'm telling you, friends, it is so true. Because people test us, do they not? Huh? And we got people that test you. Don't look around. Amen. People test us. Because every time I want to smack a saint, every time I want to smack a sinner, I remember. Anybody ever want to smack a saint before? All right. Anybody ever want to smack a sinner before? All right, think about that now. Every time you want to, this is what I do. I remember God's infinite, please hear that word, infinite, outstanding, incredible, passionate, purposed, unmeasurable, unashamed love that he has for them. Every time I want to do something, I think and remember that. I remember that he bled for them. I remember that he died for them. I remember that he wept for them. I remember that right now he is praying for them. Did you know that? Did you know that Christ right now, Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Meaning right now, he is praying prayers still to the Father on behalf of humanity for us to gain an accurate picture, an accurate sight, an accurate view as to who he is and can be for them. And the way they get that is through the living epistles, us friends. The way they get that is through seeing us. And God, Christ Jesus, is praying that prayer of our representation. And every time I want to go off, every time I want to let loose and just let somebody see my frustration, I'm not saying I don't mess up. I'm not saying I don't fail. We're all going to mess up in this. But friends, I'm telling you this. I am trying my very best to lean on love with my life and make it my habit in my reactions. And I'm telling you something. There is something powerful when you look at somebody that you have issue with and see them as God sees them. It changes the way you react. It changes what you say. It changes how you say it. It changes what you do, and it changes how you do it. When we did Adopt a Block, there was a house that will not be mentioned. But I know the person that lives in the house had nothing to do with Journey, but I know that they played a part in ticking me off at one point in my life. And I literally, for years, could not stand the person. And wouldn't you know it, JC, thank you, tells me to go mow their lawn. And I remember mowing the lawn, and whoops, I missed the strip. You know what I'm saying, when you miss a strip? And you got the tall blade grasses that are there, little tiny strip. It's like, it'll be all right. And God's like, get back there. And I'm like, no. Kept going, right? Don't look at me holy. Amen. But I remember God was just like giving me that reminder again. The cross. How many know the world is not my skull? Sometimes we think that our world is just us, our minds, what we... I'm telling you, he loves the world, friends. I remember going back and just, I mowed that lawn like I was mowing the lawn of God so that I could show them the love of God. Never got an opportunity to talk to them, but I don't think they were home, but if I do, I can't wait to just share the love of God. If you struggle with love, friends, this morning, I want to give you an invitation for you to come to know the love of God, because it's the only route that you will ever see love pouring out of your life at the level that will give you blessing on Judgment Day instead of cursing on Judgment Day. It's the only route. And so right there in your seat, friends, this is what I want you to do. If you do not know God, you don't know what it's like to have a relationship with God, this is the moment. This is the opportunity here to allow the arms of God. Just, I'm telling you, with your words right now, just ask God in your own way just to come into my life. Some of you are like, I don't even know how to do that. Listen, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer, but this is what I want you to do. The word pray just means talk. It literally is a fancy word. It means talk. Just talk to God. Tell God to come in. I want you in my life. I want you right here in my heart. I invite you right here into the center. I want to experience your love. I want to experience your forgiveness, God. Just right there in your own words. Just everybody right now, let's just shut our eyes. Let's just put our focus in on him and allow that moment of self-examination to happen. Allow that moment of self-reflection to happen. Where is it that you are not loving? Who is it that needs to be loved in and around your life? The only route for that to happen is for you to absorb the love of God that is available to you right now. So just right now, his love surrounds you, friends. Right now, it surrounds you. It physically and spiritually surrounds you. Just say, God, I invite your love into my life. I invite it in. Right now, I feel like, I don't know who this is, but I feel like there's a spouse that you have had a very difficult time loving your spouse, forgiving your spouse, letting something go. And I feel like God is saying right now, invite my love into you. Invite my love into your life, and you'll start to see that mountain removed. You'll start to see that wall break. Some of you need to go to work tomorrow and apologize to your boss on the life that you have put out on display for them to see. And just come to him and say, I need to ask for your forgiveness because I have had some issues in my life that maybe I've had with you, or I just want you to know I'm sorry and I'm going to give my best because you deserve my best, because God loves you. He made you, and I'm going to serve you as he's called me to serve him. Some of you parents need to go have conversations with your children. Can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with a parent apologizing to a child. Nothing wrong with that. My kids hear my apologies quite often, because I'm just learning to live in love, and I want my kids to see an accurate description of who Jesus is while he's given them to me to be the foundation for the life that they live. Co-workers, neighbors. Some of you just cannot stand the sight of a neighbor. Just absorb the love of God right now in this room. We'll get to strategy in the next week and week after. Right now, just absorb the love that is around your life right now. It's what John said. We love because he first loved us. Fellow church member. Father, I thank you right now for every person in this room as we dismiss this time. God, as our communion teams, I pray, would come and get ready.